Yes, please, Pat, that'd be wonderful.
Well, no one else will read that. Show it off further.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Well, no one else is on. Riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Beautiful, thank you. So, rooted and established in love. It seems that Paul is quite explicit about some of the things we need to be rooted in. And it sounds like an ideal way to be, doesn't it? Rooted in love. But what does it mean? Well, perhaps it's easier to understand this when we look back to being a child or looking after children. We all know that children need love, don't we? We all know that we all need love, but it can be hard to sort of pinpoint how that love is expressed. But this little clip shows a bit of what love can be.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Can I have a chocolate, please? It's for my mum.
To show love, you know, the way our parents show love, the way that our shopkeeper showed love and kindness, and of course the way that children show us love is really important. Now, of course, you know, maybe some of us experienced a childhood without much love, and what we realise then only too clearly is the cost of being without. We know that sense of being parched, don't we? And many of us who will have raised children, will, or perhaps who are still in the midst of raising children, will be very aware that love is shown in countless everyday small ways that create security. And when you're in the midst of it, you think you're doing such mundane things, don't you? You know, keeping them warm, keeping them clean, keeping them fed, keeping them safe. And it feels like you're not doing anything earth-shattering until you meet a child who hasn't had that in their lives. And then you realise that you're doing something absolutely amazing, often way after you finish doing it. Well, God knows what we need and longs to root us in his love. And I wonder, what are the everyday things that God does to show us his love? You know, when we're a child, it's not our job to notice that our parents keep us warm and clean and safe and well fed. We just take that for granted if it happens. And children being children, even if that doesn't happen, they still tend to love a parent who's failing, don't they? It's just part of being a child. But as God's children as adults, I wonder if we're still taking for granted those everyday things that God does to show us his love. So I wonder if you might want to share with a couple of your neighbours about some of the things that you can perhaps reflect on, the ways that God shows us his love that perhaps we've stopped noticing, because they are as common as the air around us. You know, a bit like a goldfish needing to notice the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's love is so around us that we've failed to notice it anymore. And maybe it's a good exercise to remind each other. And some of those things will be very personal to you, like that bar of chocolate. And some of the things will be universal to all of us that perhaps we've started to take for granted. So we're going to just spend 10 minutes talking to each other about those things and reminding each other of the goodness of God around us. But Paul talks about being rooted in love, but he also talks about us having power, about growing in power. And if you're a gardener, like what we are now, and you'll know that being rooted in the right stuff is really important. So, you know, I realise that you can't just lob plants in the ground. You actually have got to dig out a bigger hole and put some fertiliser in. Makes all the difference in the world. Who knew? Lots of people, apparently. So it affects the strength of the growth of the plant. Anyway, there's some plant wisdom here for you.
Your love keeps lifting me higher.
So I know what happens in our garden, and I'm doing very well, yeah? So this may not be singing, but as Paul suggests, being rooted in the right kind of love empowers who we are, doesn't it? It actually empowers our growth in Christ. And just as plants need the right amount of soil and fertilizer and the right size of pot, so we need those good things of God and the space to grow. You know, if we plant things too close together, they're not gonna. I'm gonna have to tell you all mistakes I've made. Plant them too close together, you stick them in the wrong place. Honestly, it was the most best bit of adulting I did this year, was that I realised that one of my pot plants was in a too small pot, and I repotted it, and it's gone berserk, hasn't it? Absolutely, I felt so grown up. But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I don't want you to talk to your neighbour about this, but I'm just going to ask some questions for you to perhaps just think about over the evening. If you were a plant, how healthy would you be at this moment? And what kind of plant would you be? Just because you got beards, I mean, it's actually something prickly. Do you feel rooted in the love of God, or are you feeling like your soil is slightly lacking in sustenance? And are you in the right size pot? Or are your roots feeling a bit restricted? Because maybe you're bound by your own circumstances, or perhaps some fears that are keeping you in a too small pot, stopping you from flourishing into what God wants you to have. Are you able to draw on that power of Christ to help you grow? There are many things to dwell on there, and they're probably questions to just let them sit there for a while, maybe over the next few weeks and months. And perhaps, you might hear from God saying, I just need to repot you, I need to give you more space to grow. I need to move on from the fears that are binding you in. Maybe some of those fears are about what God might ask us to do himself. Maybe we're keeping God at a safe distance and not allowing him to really affect how we grow. There may be all sorts of reasons for that, and they're questions for you and God to work on in your time and in his time. because he will always do it gently. He'll never yank you out of a pot just because he wants to, even though he might think that that's the best thing for you. He'll always wait for you to be ready. But the other thing that Paul tells us in Ephesians is that we do this growing together. It is a community exercise. We need each other.
Transformational language?
Or something similar.
No, okay.
So my spoon is too small, isn't it? It's melted. It's melted.
He's after us all going together, and he makes it clear that working this stuff out and experiencing the love of God to help us grow is a community activity, something to be done with God's people. And he seems to suggest that we can only grasp how wide, how long, how high the love of Christ is together. I'm sure, you know, as you were sharing those things together, it increased your capacity to understand God's love by hearing from each other. There are things that some people notice that you will have never have noticed, and it's good to appreciate that together. And maybe this is where we often go wrong and end up feeling a bit parched and flaky. Perhaps that tree we looked at Friday night that is rooted by the riverside is actually a woodland offering hope and nourishment. And actually, there's some scientific reasoning behind that. We understand that trees and plants often thrive better together, don't they? There are some things that grow better when they're together. And there is actually a secret to how trees grow together, which is about their roots and what is around their roots. So we're just going to have a little bit of an education film now.
What do you think you're doing?
The idea of talking trees has been capturing the human imagination for generations.
Did you say something? My bark is worse than my bite.
Okay, so maybe they don't talk to us, but it turns out trees can talk to each other.
Trees are speaking to each other.
But that does beg the question, what do trees have to talk about? And can we learn to speak their language? Underneath the soil, a vast and interconnected network of life links the trees through their root systems. But they can't talk to each other without help. The whole process starts with hub trees, the oldest and tallest trees in the forest. Hub trees have greater access to sunlight, and through the process of photosynthesis, end up producing more sugar than they actually need. Underground, fungi need sugar to survive. Most of their bodies are made up of a mass of threads called mycelium. They grow within the root system of trees to absorb the excess sugar. In return, The mycelium provides the tree with the nutrients it needs from the soil. This symbiotic relationship is known as mycorrhiza, which stems from the Greek words for fungus and root. These tree-fungi relationships connect the trees in the forest together, forming an underground communication network to exchange water and nutrients, nurture their seedlings, and even send warning signals when under threat. So, how many trees are really talking to each other? To get a better picture of these forest relationships, a team of researchers used DNA analysis to map a fungal network in a patch of Canadian forest. Remarkably, they found that one tree was connected to 47 other trees. Their models also showed that when hub trees were removed, it would cause more connections to be lost than if trees were simply removed randomly. Studying these kinds of underground exchanges will play a vital role in creating stronger, more resilient forests for the future. So even though we might not be able to talk to trees, at least we can still keep trying to understand their language. Who knows what they might say?
Of it goes without us knowing, you know, that there's it all is so linked together. And if God created trees and woodlands to be so interdependent on each other, why would he expect us to stand majestically alone? Just as those roots and fungi store up and share goodness, so we can produce sweet nourishment for each other. Sharing in times of plenty and receiving from others in times of scarcity and hardship. And maybe we can think for a moment who those tall hub trees might be in our church community. We may not need to look that far. Those Christian believers who have gathered wisdom over many, many years. Can act as those kind of hub trees, can't they? Sharing their goodness with others. I know that in every church I've led, I've had at least one older person who has acted as a hub tree for me. A person whose wisdom and knowledge of Jesus seems to give them that overhead view. These people seem to be able to draw the goodness out of life and share it with others. And I would always look forward to visiting these dear folks, often in care homes, but sometimes in their own homes, because I knew that I would always come away nourished. And in fact, I used to time their visits very, very carefully. If I knew I had a difficult day, or maybe a difficult church meeting that evening, or something going on with someone else that was going to drain me, I'd make sure I'd phone up and visit one of those hub trees, because I knew that I would receive wisdom, understanding, prayer, without me having to share all the details of what was going on, because these dear older brothers and sisters in Christ would have the wisdom to know how to share the goodness of God with me. So if you don't have someone in your life like that, and I suggest you find one, because they are life-giving. Now, the Bible is full of tree and plant analogies that remind us that our roots and branches are actually meant to work with each other to strengthen not just us, but our communities. Now, we've heard a bit about a garden at the beginning of our session this evening, and of course from the beginning of the Bible, and then at the end of the Bible there's a garden again, isn't there? In Revelation 22 and verse 2 it says, "On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations." So such a beautiful image, isn't it? That the trees would actually heal the nations. My goodness, we need that healing. Our being rooted is not just intended for our benefit, but for the benefit of the wider world. Imagine a world where that kind of connectedness and being rooted in love actually defined society. Where things like that small act of mercy and love in the sweet shop happened all the time. Wouldn't that be lovely? Imagine for a moment how the leaves of those kind of trees could bring healing to war zones and areas of conflict. And if we are to bring about change in the world and in our society, we need each other and to gather love and power from serving Jesus together. Rooted in his love, we can change things by bringing health to those communities and those people around us. We're going to move into some more worship as we finish our time together before supper.